specifically because it's hard. Don't avoid shit. You're doing the wrong fucking thing. You're going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You need to charge the hills. Okay. Yep. So just because something's hard, that's the worst reason to not do something is because it's hard.
Yep.
Okay. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but in order for you to determine if something makes sense or not, you have to be able to succeed at it first.
Yep.
You can't quit at something that you haven't succeeded at and then say, oh, I chose not to. No, you didn't choose not to. It chose you not to. You got unchosen.
Yep.
You know, that's the difference. So, yeah. And plus, the guys that go to a different country to date women thinking that, oh, American girls are this and that. The problem is that, like, those women, if you don't understand, feminine nature is universal. And if you don't understand feminine nature and how women act, those other, you know, meek girls in third world countries are going to run you over. They're going to
take advantage.
Really work. Yeah. Because they know, because they're used to masculine men in those countries. That's why they act so meek and submissive. And so, you know, yeah, if you're a masculine man, you come into, you know, yeah, it's gonna be great for you. But if you're not, if you can't deal with women in the United States, and then you go in there, they're gonna see a mark. They're gonna see a sucker.
You're basically, the fangs are delayed, guys, is really the difference. Like in the States, you see the fangs up front. You know what I'm saying? You see that beluga whale is coming at you at the club, and you're like, oh, God, I don't want to deal with her. She's out here, you know, wearing a pink, you know, pea hat, if you guys know what I'm saying. Like, you see the fangs up front, but you go to Colombia, Philippines, whatever. Women are hypergamous everywhere, guys. You know what I'm saying? If you guys want to know the secret is this. You got to be masculine at all times. You know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. So regardless of where you are.
Yep. One other thing I'll say about that, I think that's really important for guys to hear, because they hear so much of the opposite in the red pill community here. And again, I love all the guys in the red pill community, but here's the thing. Stop hating women. Stop like thinking that they're so bad. Like you really got to take out of your mindset this idea that, oh, you know, we look at the hypergamous nature of women and the way that certain women behave and all of these things for informational purposes, like studying an animal at the zoo. Okay. Now, I don't mean this in a negative light. I mean, in an extremely positive light, saying that, like, don't view this as something negative and hostile towards you and with malevolence, because if you have that mindset in your head, it's going to come across.
Yeah.
Right. You should be like, if you're going to be a womanizer, be a womanizer. like love being with women, love women. You see what I'm saying? Understand their name. Just like, you know, what's his name? Well, I think Joe, the Tiger King, is probably a bad example, but but like, you know, if you're going to hang around, you know, dangerous cats, dangerous animals, you're not like, well, these fucking cats, you know, like you appreciate the beauty of this majestic beast, but you also don't stick your arm in the cage, right? So that's all I'm saying. It's like, stop having these negative, overly negative viewpoints. Instead, appreciate, you know, the dangerous animal for what it is, and know to keep your distance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what you're supposed to be learning here in the red pill community. You're not supposed to be learning that it's so fucked up.
It's not fair.
You know,
it's tough out here.
It's tough out here for a lot of people. I mean, guys, at the end of the day, like, women are the same no matter where you go. The thing is that, like I said, the fangs are just going to come in a little bit later when you go to like a Colombia, a Philippines, a Brazil, whatever, because they're more traditionally feminine. But at the end of the day, guys, the reality is this. All women are hypergamous, okay? It is what it is. Whether they want to delay it or put on a facade in the beginning is one thing, but it's going to come at some point. So if you stick your hand in the cage in Colombia versus United States versus the Philippines, tiger's still going to bite you. You know what I'm saying?
And learn to love that. Learn to love that they're hypergamous, because you're the top dog.
Yeah.
So you're like, I love that they just keep on bubbling up to me.
Yeah.
See, right?
Winner takes all women, man. That's how it is.
You got to learn to love that. So become that guy. So.
See, guys, if you can understand this, right, and play it to your advantage, you can win. Mm. So for example, same thing with a video game, right? At a certain level, the grunts literally are easy to kill. So I'm not saying to kill females, but I'm saying in general, like if you're at a high level, they come to you. So rather than complain, say, oh, man, it's too hard. You know what? Work on yourself. Become that high-value guy. And then guess what? They're going to be fucking feel like beast of honey.
Yeah. So all right. So let's get into the Super Chats. Guys, Super Chats are going to be prioritized first. Phone calls will be after. We're getting a lot of – okay. So let's hit the first one here. Empire of Real Estate. What is the best way to get into higher social circles and friend groups? You become who you hang with. Where can you find ambitious friends in real life? And then we'll also answer those super chats that were earlier on the show after this one.
Yeah.
John, go ahead. You take this one away.
Yeah.
Social circle.
So, I mean, there's a few things. I'm hesitant to just like take one take on it, but this is one I'll give you that I think is not heard very often because a lot of people talk about different things, but I'll say pay for access.
Bam.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to pay for access. I do this all the time. I have paid. I know a lot of people. Right. We were just talking last night.
Yeah, we're talking.
I know
about
a lot of
night,
people.
Yep. Yeah. John knows every big influencer, by the way, guys. Oh yeah, I know him. Oh yeah, yeah, I've met him before. Oh yeah, I know him. I was like, holy crap. So, yeah, John knows everyone, guys.
A lot of it is because I bought their courses, mm-hmm. and then I've emailed them, and I said, hey, you know, I love your course, whatever. You know what I mean? Or I've gone to a conference and spoke to them, or I've paid for their coaching. I've mm-hmm. paid – I don't want to name it, too many names here, but I paid Ryan Holiday, I think, $500 for, like, 15-minute phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, and then we became friends, and he published an article that I wrote in his online magazine, The Orbiter.
And real right? quick, and hold on. John's too humble to admit this, but I'm going to say it for him. A lot of these guys that he does this, he makes more money than them. He actually doesn't need their coaching at all. But it's for the access, guys. So the ability to be humble to, like, hey, reach out to these guys, even though you know realistically you don't need their coaching, but you pay into it and you tell them – show because when you pay, guys, it shows that you're serious. And then you're also giving the content creator that respect, like, hey, I respect you. I'm going to pay you for your time. I'd like to get access to you. And then they're going to respect you way more and be more apt to work with you, regardless of whether you need their coaching or not. But the fact that John does that shows the humility. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So I just want to give you credit there, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But yeah, no, I've paid a lot of people in this industry. I've paid for coaching calls. And like I said, sometimes I've gotten on coaching calls with them and they're like, you don't really need my coaching.
Yeah.
Like you're doing better than I am. And I'm like, yeah. no, but in some ways, yes. But in some ways, no, like I want you to be, I'm willing to pay to have you as a friend because
yeah.
it's valuable to, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'm frank with it. And people have said to me, that's pretty smart. Like
yeah.
that's a good idea. Yeah, sure. I will take the money. I'm glad to jump on a call and, you know, and that's, you know, that's how you do it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that you can do is that you just give value, right? So I give you another example. You know, when I was first starting out on YouTube, one of the big influencers that influenced me was Elliot Holtz.
Okay.
Now he doesn't.
Yo, Elliot.
Yeah, he didn't know me from a brick in the wall. You know what I mean? Like from a hole in the wall. Like I'm just some dude, right? But I bought some of his programs. I showed up at the conference that he went to. I tried to help out at the conference, right? I was helping all the other guys that were there, and he was noticing that. And, you know, and every time that I got a chance to mention him in a video or something, and I said, you know, I owe my YouTube, you know, the success, like they could, like Elliot inspired me to combine philosophy with fitness and in masculinity. And what ended up happening was, you know, just as it evolved, I had him on my YouTube channel, right? And that relationship grew.
He's been on YouTube forever, dude.
Yeah, he
has. He's like a fitness YouTube OG. Him, like Brandon Carter. Shout out to Brandon Carter.
Hodge Twins.
You know what I'm saying? Hodge Twins. Like all these guys are like OGs.
In fact, that's how I met
Chris
Brandon
Jones.
Carter.
Yeah.
Was at Elliot Holtz's
event. Oh, okay.
I was talking to a bunch of guys about books,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I love to read books.
Yes.
And I was trying to just
Brandon's
help all the guys
reader.
There. And Brandon came over and he was excited because he pulled out his Audible and we're comparing Audibles.
Yeah.
And we're like, shit, yeah, we're reading all the same books. We're swapping books. So I'm giving him as much value as I can. Like all these books that I really enjoyed that, you know, and he started buying them and add them to his Audible.
Yeah.
And so that's actually how I met Brandon. But what ended up happening with Elliot was, you know, eventually, you know, I ended up speaking on the same stage as Elliot as and I went to his grounding camp as well. And I helped out there. And so I'm just adding value, right? He's doing this grounding camp. I'm adding value by making his grounding camp better by helping all the other guys in there because I can mentor these guys. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so then, you know, after I spoke at 21 convention and we spoke on stage together, when I got back from it, I had a photo, right. And I specifically tagged him. I had a photo with Elliot and I put it on my Instagram and I tagged him in it. And I said, I just wrote a big paragraph about good things about him. And you know what he did? He shared it on his Instagram. He reposted on his Instagram because guess what? That was a value add for him because it's one thing when you talk about yourself, but if I produce something for a content creator, right? And then he gets to repost what someone else says. I just gave him a testimonial. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the whole idea, again, it's not that like everything that I do is calculated and strategic, but I'm just in the habit of giving value because I knew if I made that post on my Instagram that Elliot would appreciate that or probably be able to use it in some way. And he did. And that built that connection, right? And so you know, I'm just thinking as much as I can is how can I just give people value? You know, I think Fresh is a great example because he, you know, he picked me up from the airport. I mean, both of you guys have you know, shown huge hospitality. Like, you guys get it because, you know, when guests come here, you pay for their stuff, you pay for their dinner, you know, you make them feel like they're a superstar, like they're special, and they remember that, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's
very
the thing.
Important.
And you
take care of your people.
Yeah. So that's the key. It's like stop thinking about what kind of value you can extract from people, like, because most people want to build a social circle so they can extract value.
Yeah.
Instead, think about, like, how much value can you give? And sometimes it's hard to give value to someone who's a lot higher up at a different level than you, but you can find a way, right? You could market their course. You can, you know, promote their thing. You can moderate their chat. You know, I mean, these are, like, huge, valuable things. You can...
Sure, even James is here for moderating.
Exactly.
Yeah. He's
James
here and he's hanging out with us
example.
Now.
Yeah, that's why I said that.
Yeah.
Because James is a great example because everyone knows James because he shows up and he doesn't ask for anything. He just gives you praise and works and just, you know, and
he doesn't
yourself.
Have to. He's a very successful pilot,
exactly.
Made millions of dollars on the, you know, on the stock market. So trading. So, you know, it's a very, he wants to do it. You know what I'm saying? Which is huge. You know,
so just figure out ways that you can give value. Right.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then pay for access. You know,
yeah.
That's
excellent.
That's the key.
There you go. Bam. That 101 on how to get high value friends. Okay, we had a couple questions before in the past, Chris. What were the one was on cryptocurrency, and what was the other one?
Yes, let me check right now. But let's read some chats right now.
Big up, John. Real talk, Sanmez, Fresh, Bossman CEO, and Unplugged Charisma Lifestyle. I appreciate it, dude.
There you go.
Yeah, I try, man. I try. Robert Sananas, guys need to get their Pokemon badges up. Facts, bro. Boom. I always say it. The chicks ain't gonna respect you unless you got a certain amount of Pokemon badges. All right. A lot of you dudes trying to deal with, like, Mewtwo's, and you guys haven't even beat Misty yet. So, okay, John's Pomodoro technique changed the way I work every day. It made me so much more productive. Thank you, Chris Puckett, 99 Super Chat, for that, for the support. What else do we got here?
Yeah, we have one with Dean, 199. How to invest into crypto? What websites or apps?
Okay, so I have I'll go real quick, and then I'll let John take the majority of it, but – I got in last year, guys. I worked with Charlie from Cultivate Crypto. He's a phenomenal cryptocurrency advisor. If you guys, you know, want to get someone that's not going to, like, rip you off or whatever and is actually going to give you good sound advice, go with Charlie from Cultivate Crypto. I worked with him, and I was able to procure some Bitcoin and some ETH before it skyrocketed, and I'm in a good place now. I've like, quadrupled my money pretty much. So I'm really happy. I'm not selling my BTC or my ETH. I'm holding on to it for dear life. But yeah, I mean, I got in, I just buy and hold. I don't trade. John, what about you?
Yeah. I mean, I read a really good book called The Bitcoin Standard, and it changed my whole viewpoint because before then I was like, yeah, stay out of Bitcoin. Like, this is not a good plan. And I still don't think of it as an investment, but I also don't think of it as a speculation either. I think of it as a store of value. And that book is what convinced me. It was like, cause believe me, everyone and their mom told me, tried to convince me about Bitcoin, and I didn't until I read that book, because just to put it, you know, a real simple version of it, there's a thing called the stock to flow ratio, right? So what it is it's how much you have stock, how much of a currency that you have versus what is the flow, what is the demand on that currency, how much transactions are occurring in that currency. And so gold has a stock to flow ratio, right? And so the stock is determined by how much can be mined in a year. It's a limited, finite resource. You can only mine so much. And so that is why gold is such a valuable commodity to hold on to, is because it is a store of value. So the goal of any monetary system that we have is to store value, okay? And the dollar is horrible at storing value, right? Because because the government's like, yeah, we'll just print some more of that, right? And every time someone prints more of it, what you're holding is less, right? So, you know, a dollar is not worth what a dollar was 50 years ago, okay?
Facts.
So the idea is to, like, have a good store of value. Now, Bitcoin, even though it's very volatile right now, it is the best instrument that we have that can be a store of value, because the stock is completely controlled. No government controls it. No one controls it. It just an algorithm controls it that determines, and there will only be, 21 million Bitcoins in total creation. I forget the exact number, but basically, like, it's a finite resource. We know exactly how much can be mined. And so we know what the flow is. And so looking at stock to flow ratio charts, I see Bitcoin going to $100,000 to $1 million. Seems crazy, but it's only because it's such a great store of value.
Yes.
And really the reason why Bitcoin is going to go up is because everything else is going to go down.
Yeah.
Because everything else is going to lose its value. Bitcoin isn't really going to go up. What's going to happen is that it's going to become the most efficient and secure store of value.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on it. You know.
And I'll say this for those that are like wondering, hey, should I get in? Whatever. I say this to very general and very basic stuff. Get in and put in an amount that you're okay with losing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would say anywhere between 2 to 5% of your total net worth. You can put it into BTC and or ETH, whatever crypto you want. And that way, if you lose it, it's not the end of the world. The problem is when guys, you know, put like 50% of their net worth into it, and when it goes high and then low, guys like have a crazy emotional spike. So I would say put in an amount that if you lost it tomorrow, you wouldn't cry. You know what I'm saying? That's just to be safe and be a little bit more, I guess, conservative with it. You know what I'm saying? So
I don't borrow money to put into crypto.
Yeah,
well,
please.
Don't do that. That's, you know what I'm saying? So guys, 2 to 5% of your total net worth and you'll be fine. Yep. That's an excellent question. Chris, what was the other one?
Yeah, so we have one from earlier.
Yep.
Shonen Spirit Beast.
Yes, Shonen Spirit Beast, yes.
So, okay, so John is one of the most underrated creative content creators, period.
Mm-hmm.
What are some principles that you recommend that men should follow?
Bam.
Awesome principles. Gosh, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a hierarchy of principles. We need to be men.
What do you say your top three or top four or top five? What do you think?
Okay, here's one. I got to think about some of these. So I don't want anything that I haven't earned.
Mm.
Right? I only want what's mine is another way of putting that. So this actually applies right to crypto, right? So I don't want to make – for example, we'll put it this way. I don't want to win the lottery. Okay, I wouldn't want to win $10 million in the lottery. And I'm saying this as a pure honest truth because I would feel like shit. It would be one of the worst things that could happen to you because you haven't earned it.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's why they go broke so quickly after.
Yeah. And you become miserable because it's like you haven't earned it. Like you can't enjoy it. Like, I mean, I was just telling someone the other day, I was like in the live stream, I was like, look, imagine like you're popping bottles at the club. You got your, you know, you won $10 million in the lottery and everyone's like your friend and they're like, you're such a cool guy. You're such a cool guy, John. You're so awesome.
Exactly.
I love you.
Yeah.
And inside you feel like shit.
Yep.
Because you don't deserve any of that. And so that's a horrible empty feeling that you can't. Now you can't earn your way out. It's like living in the shadow. Like, you know, I had one of my coaching clients was a trust fund baby, and it was the most horrible thing because he just lived in his father's shadow. There's nothing he could do in life because his father was ridiculously wealthy and he had all this money.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like there was nothing he could do in life to make himself feel worthy. So
there's something about like earning your own money that just gives you a certain air of energy. You know what I'm saying? I say all the time, like, you don't become high value, make money guys to get girls. You actually become high value to make money to like not tolerate the BS that comes with dealing with girls. You know what I'm saying? Like, me, like if I'm dealing with a girl and she's like in any way disrespectful, I have no problem telling her like get out. And the reason why is because I know I have this abundance mindset that I've worked to get here. I can I've figured out how to get girls and I can do it again. And I'm not going to sit here and tolerate disrespect from some 21-year-old bimbo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, everyone else might be a little bit different on that. But if it gives you that confidence and that bravado to be able to enact, you know, boundaries, which is the most important thing. You know, then, you know, so be it. But yeah, I agree with you that like when you earn the money it's completely different than like just getting it given to you. You understand the value of a dollar, which is critical.
Cause when you're spoiled, bro, like I know how that feels. Like you feel like you feel it worthless because like, yo, mom and dad's money, I could do whatever I want, but like, what have I done?
Right.
And deep down, you know that so you do drugs, you do like alcohol, try to like escape it. But if you leave that environment of your comfort zone and go through yourself, you can finally be who you really want to be.
Yeah.
So it's very important.
Yeah, no, facts. That was a great question. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Was there more to it? Principles men should follow.
Let's see. What's another one? How about this one, which is that how you live one day is how you live every day.
Mm.
Now, I borrowed this from how you do one thing is how you do everything from
T. Harv
Eker? T. Harv Eker.
Very good author.
Millionaire mind.
Mindset.
But I adopted it to how you live one day is how you live every day. And I think that's an important principle because you realize, because the thing is like, if you're like, I'm not going to go to the gym today, like, or you're like, it's so-and-so's birthday, so I'm going to eat this cake or whatever kind of bullshit excuse you come up with, that you're going to do that every day. So you can't just, there's no exception.
One bad decision almost always snowballs into a multitude of bad decisions.
Yeah.
So anything else, John, for that, as far as like principles?
What other major principles?
Respect.
I would say integrity too. Guys, like I always say this, like, you know, Women are taught, you know, men are taught do what's right. Women are taught do what's right for you. Like with a guy, man, the reason why like chicks flake on dudes and all this other crap is because women don't really have any real allegiance. Let's just keep it real, especially when it comes to mate selection, right? Like you talk to girls, like they flake on each other. They don't care. No one says it's a woman's word. No, it's a man's word for a reason. Because as a man, what you say and sticking to your word is very important. It's actually like a testament to your character. There's a reason why Al Pacino said in the movie Scarface, which if you guys haven't watched it, you guys should definitely go check it out. I would say that when we're in Miami. But he says, hey, all I have in this world is my balls and my word. And that's so true, because if you don't adhere to what you say you're going to do, no one's going to take you serious. Right. All right, I'm going to go to the gym. He never goes to the gym. Bro, you're like, no one's going to take you serious. But when you always do what you say you're going to do, man, people are inevitably just going to respect you, because they're like, yo, this dude is crazy. He says he's going to go work out 4 a.m. He's actually following through. Like, I give an example. Those chicks, right? After the interview was done yesterday, guys, me and John, I was like, yo, I'm going to go to the gym. John's like, you know what? I'm going to go too. And the girls looked at us like, what? You guys are going to go work out right now? We're going to go to sleep. And it's like, yeah, well, that's why you guys look the way you do and we look the way we do, right? In the back of my mind, I was like saying that. But like people like really admire and respect discipline. And when you follow through and do what you say you're going to do, it's such a rare trait that it's just it's going to set you apart from so many other people. Because a lot of people be yapping, bro. Let's keep it real. They be, oh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Bro, you don't do shit. A lot of people just talk and they don't walk it, you know. But when you walk it like you talk it, it's very important. You know what I'm saying? So, anything else?
I think that's good.
I think that's good for you. What's his name? Sonnen, right? What's his name?
Yes.
Yeah, I know he shows a lot of support to John, so we want to shout you out. You know, I'll give you a Don DeMarco, bro, because you support John. Okay, we got some more super chats. The phone lines are on fire too, guys. Phone lines will get to you, but super chats take precedence. So if you want to get your question answered,
from Frank Snora.
Okay.
Oh, bless you, brothers. I've been trying out a morning routine for over 6 months. Working excellent for me. What are your routines? Each three of yours.
Oh, okay. That's a good question. I guess I'll go first.
Yeah.
Guys, I don't have a morning routine. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. I'm on a nocturnal routine right now. So like, I go to bed like late at night, like sometimes in the morning or afternoon. I'll wake up and then I'll go to the gym. I'll train either whether it's like, you know, at Fresh's 24-hour gym, or I'll go to catch the gym here before the show. Today I was able to catch the gym before the show. Typically, like when I wake up, first thing I do is typically train. Fasted. Not that it matters, guys, but I just enjoy not having a lot of food in my stomach. I'll train. Then I'll eat after. And then, yeah, I just prepare for the show. Make sure all the equipment is good. Research on how to make, you know, the microphone sound better. You know, the camera angles, the lights, everything like that. Like, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes. To make sure the studio is always optimal to give you guys the best experience. Because at the end of the day, I've said it, and I'm going to say it again.
Lighting fast.
We're fucking taking over, all right? This is going to be the best. We're already the best podcast in Miami. We're going to be the best podcast in the sphere. And then eventually, you guys are going to see us out here going mainstream, making fun of feminists with 5,000 people watching live. That's the goal. We're going to get there, though, thanks to your guys' support. So with that mindset, that's why I put, like, you know, crazy money into all our equipment, the microphones. Like, I don't spare any expenses. We take everything, all these super chats you guys give us, all this money goes right back into the studio, and you guys can see it. Stripper poles, weird heels,
lighting,
you know, all that stuff. So we're trying to make sure that we got the best podcast. But that's pretty much my routine is gym, and then after that, make sure that the show is ready to go and we got the best stuff going, everything is good. What about you, Fresh, then, John?
Yeah, man. So every morning I wake up at 6 a.m. I get on my phone. And I look to add value to, one, our brand, our channel for YouTube, but also as well other people. So my thing is about networking with high-value people, influencers and celebrities, because, one, I want to have them on the show, and two, I think, you know what, how can I add value to this person's life and help them out? Yeah. So I've been able to network with like YouTubers, Instagram models, influencers.
We got some good stuff planned for you guys this month, by the way, some good interviews that are coming up.
And then once that's done in the morning, I manage some social media accounts. I do that. And then from there, pretty much like deal with the guests that come in, flying to us, and that's pretty much it.
Bam. So. What about you, John?
I also do not have a morning routine. I tried it. It didn't stick because I don't like morning routines, because what I found with the morning routine, because I had like this thing where I was like meditating and reading this book, and then and what happened was it felt like work. And so I didn't feel like doing it.
Yeah.
And so it was starting off my day wrong, because I felt like I needed to do it, and I felt guilty if I didn't do it. So I found it was just better for me to just get up and start working my day. And I have a routine in my day, and I have a routine in how I systemize my work with the Pomodoro technique and in my whole workflow management system. But you know, for me, it was like the morning routine just was like something that I had to do that I felt anxious about because I'm like, oh, I got all the stuff I need to do for work. And now this, I need to get this done. And so I was just pushing myself through it instead of doing it. Now, again, morning routines work for a lot of people. You know, what's the popular book, Miracle Morning, how something, I can't remember his name now. But for me now.
Yeah. Okay. And I talk about this all the time when it comes to lifestyle habit. Like when you're in the gym training, right? What I always tell people is it's better to do a suboptimal diet and or training plan if you're able to adhere to it long term. So let's say you're doing that's 100% optimal, but you only do it two times a week because you hate it. You can't sustain it. But you're doing something that's suboptimal that has you in the gym 3-4 times a week. You're eating correctly or you're eating the best you can, 80%, you know, healthy food, whatever. I tell you to stick with that and do that because – success comes from long-term consistency over time. Time plus consistency equals results every single time. That's the equation for success. So if that consistency is reliant upon you doing something that's suboptimal, I'd rather you do something suboptimal consistently over something that's super optimal that isn't consistent. Because at the end of the day, going to gym and having one great training session a month is like not going to get you gains. You know what I'm saying?
And that's exactly why I support people that do CrossFit, even though CrossFit is the most retarded shit that you can buy.
Facts.
Because I support, like, I have a lot of friends that do CrossFit. I'm like, good. I'm glad. Like, do CrossFit. I love it. Like, I'm never going to knock you for doing CrossFit. I'm going to say it's stupid, but I'm going to say do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because
it has you in the gym training.
Because, like, a lot of CrossFitters, as much as, like, I think it's goofy, a lot of the shit that they do, it is they consistently do it because it has a cult, like, thing to it, and it's like, and it keeps people going and doing it. So
the community itself,
it's good. It's got a lot of people
that
fit.
That cult mentality promotes adherence, which adherence is the basis and foundation for any training or eating routine.
It's just not optimal. It's like you're not trying to gain muscle. You're not trying to. I don't know what you're trying to do, but it works. It works. It's like it's just an non-optimal way to do it.
You're basically you're doing scoliosis for time is what you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
All right, but that's just my opinion. Now,
okay, cool.
All right, so we have one more that's off from earlier.
Okay.
All right. So Empire of Real Estate by Bucks, how to get over fear of flying. I've had some success as a young guy and I want to see the world. I saw your bio mention your fear of flying.
Just do it.
Now.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, turn up the USB real quick, Chris. Yeah, turn it up.
Stop. You see it? You heard
do it. Just do it.
I can give you an answer on this because I actually had a fear of flying. So fear of flying after 9/11, actually.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't fly. I mean, I would dread flying for like 3 months before a trip, and then I would cancel it last minute, and then I would drive, right? Mm-hmm. It would make me miserable just knowing that I had to get on an airplane. When I would finally get on an airplane, I'd be sweating the whole time and just like trying to distract myself, putting my headphones on, trying to play a video game, doing all kinds of stuff. It just got worse and worse, and it was just the most miserable experience. And I looked up all the statistics and all the information, and I did just do it. I just got on the plane, but it didn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. Until what ended up happening was there was this period in my life where I started to get these panic attacks, right? And that almost destroyed my life, right? But nothing would make it go away. I mean, it was bad enough that like I would go into work and I would like just go into the bathroom and sit on the toilet and just try to pass the time.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so that I could just get through the day so that I could get home to get into my bathtub and pass the time until I could go to sleep and sleep 12 hours. And it was just bad because I just, you know.
How'd you get over it then?
So what ended up happening, I tried everything, you know, and then finally I was listening to, I don't even know what it was, this one audio recording on the internet that said, instead of trying to block out the panic attack, instead of trying to distract yourself, like I was trying to read a book or do something and try to block it out. So you're like, oh, you know, try to distract yourself with something else. Try to turn it up to an 11, like try to turn that fear you're feeling up. Just embrace that fear. Be like, give me as much as you can, right? Just like embrace that fear. Just feel it 100%. And so I thought, well, I have nothing to lose. So I did it. So I was like, all right, give it to me. Fucking give it to me. All of it. I want it. Right. And I just try to get myself as scared as possible. Didn't distract myself. Just made myself feel it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a heart attack. I can't breathe. I can't, you know, and just like force it upon myself as much as possible. And I very quickly hit a limit, very, very, very low, at a very much lower level than what I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't bring any more fear. It was at the max.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's not that bad. Mm-hmm. It's like that whole cliche, like you have nothing to fear but fear itself. That's exactly what happened. And I was cured like that.
Bam.
The next day, no panic attacks. I was completely back to normal after 2 weeks of debilitating panic attacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so so after that, I was like, shit, this would probably work for flying on airplanes.
Yeah.
So I went and I booked an airplane ticket, okay? And I booked a window seat. And I didn't bring my headphones.
Oh,
wow. I
didn't
bring anything.
Face it head on.
And I sat in the window seat, and I opened up the window,
mm-hmm.
and I made myself watch the entire time when we were taking off to watch the ground. And I didn't try to block out the fear. I was like, let me feel as much fear. I want to scare myself as fucking much as I can looking out of this window. And then when we, you know, and then we took off, and obviously it was scary, but I just let myself feel as much fear as possible. Just like, don't try to block out any emotions I'm feeling. Just experience it all. I want to experience it all. And then when we got into turbulence, normally I would like, you know, put on headphones.
Yeah.
And transition. I was like, no, I'm going to accept this.
Yeah. Give it to me.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, I was jumping up in my seat. I was like, yes. You know, like I was scared, but I was like making myself feel it. And then same thing with landing, like made myself watch the entire landing. It took two flights and I was cured. I've flown probably like 150 times since then, all over the world, everywhere, you know, all kinds of countries I've flown.
Bam.
Have no fear of flying at all anymore. I did the same thing with roller coasters as well. So if you do that, that will work.
So there's a secret, guys. You've
yep.
got to face your fears.
Yep.
So, okay.
All right. So we
ahead,
have
Chris.
A few super chats.
Okay.
And we have
and a bunch of phone lines. Guys,
818.
Phone yep. lines, we're going to try to get to you. Super chats come first.
Yeah.
Super chats come first. And then we'll go to phone lines. If you guys are waiting on the phone line, you want to get your question, make sure it's guaranteed answered. Get it, do a super chat. Okay.
So we
ahead.
Have one from earlier from Chris Puckett.
Okay.
99 super chat.
Okay.
John's Permardo technique changed the way I work every day and made me so much more
yeah.
productive.
We read that one.
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We have one from Travis 499. It went away. That's good to go. And then our current ones are Ahmed Hill, $5.
Okay. A lot of heat being dropped. Keep up the good work, guys. Thank
All
you so
right.
much,
Thank
Ahmed.
You.
We appreciate it. Hill with the $5 super chat. We got Travis with another one. Thank you, Travis, bro. You're supporting, bro. Travis has a good question here. How do we obtain masculine energy? Step one, don't hang out with beta males like Curtis Connor. Number two, you need to make sure that you surround yourself with guys that are like on a similar
yeah.
mission to you, man. Don't hang out with losers. If you're hanging out with guys that smoke pot all day
yeah.
and complain and cry about their situation, whatever, you're going to start to be the next complainer and crier. So,
and number three, don't watch Philly on.
Don't watch Philly
watch
on either.
Us.
Yeah, watch us.
Watch
don't
us.
Watch these guys that clearly like don't have a real perception of reality when it comes to dating. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And then what else? Number four, surround yourself with guys that you can learn from. Like
yep.
John,
yep.
We've been like picking his brain about certain things, but we're making sure that we can exchange some kind of value as well with like, you know, Instagram, social media, that type of thing.
Yep.
And yeah, man, just hang out with guys that are winners, provide value to those winners. Don't hang out with losers because they're going to make you feel like a loser. If you hang out with five idiots, you're going to be the sixth. Trust me, every single time. But that's what it is. And another thing too, real talk, blue pill guys. You know what? If you work with them, whatever, keep it like sociable, whatever. But like, understand that guys that are blue pill, like especially dudes that like are, you know, on this SJW wave, whatever, they're going to try to sabotage you if you, you know, speak about these types of belief systems, et cetera, guys. So keep the RP to yourself. Okay. A lot of you guys try to RP your friends and your cousins, whatever.
Yeah.
Trust me, when it's time, you'll know. They'll get their heart broken and they'll come to you asking for answers. And that's when you can hand them the rational mail, show them our YouTube channel, show them John's YouTube channel, et cetera.
Right.
So yeah. Next question. Okay, Robertson S with a $6.99 Canadian super chat. How old were you guys when you started getting girls consistently and figured them out? For me, 28, because in my 20s, bro, I sacrificed a lot to like make sure I can like not be an idiot and make some money and save. What about you, Fresh? Fresh was always good
Honestly,
with the ladies.
Man, like I'm 19, and it's funny because I was a virgin until 18, and this girl from Canada like changed that whole dynamic for me. And then I realized, yo, real quick, there's a bunch of tourists here, right, that like dating island boys. So what did I do? Logistics, guys.
And by island boys, he means the BBC.
Yeah. I went to a spot in Barbados called The Gap, right? And in The Gap, tourists always come there to party. But what did they come for? Sand, the beach, and sex.
There we go.
So
I think you need another S.
For myself, right? Yeah. In that position where they were going to be,
gotcha,
I made the approaches. I had a constant stream of girls back and forth.
Yeah.
But once again, when I came to Miami, no one knew who it was, and it didn't matter. But, yeah, that's like the start of me getting girls.
And then, John, I don't know if you want to
But yeah, I mean, yeah.
John's
yeah,
actually a virgin, guys. Yeah. In case you didn't realize,
I hate to say it on the air, but
yeah, he's a virgin. Okay. We got Mike No Go Zones, $5. Hello, guys, watching from Wynwood, and I'm happy because I just defeated COVID. Luckily, I was asymptomatic. This is because I'm healthy. Regards. Thank you so much, man.
Good recovery, bro.
Yeah.
Wynwood.
Yeah.
Yo, we were just there, right? Remember?
Yeah. Yeah.
We were. Shout out to Wynwood, man.
Koyo
305
tacos,
in the house.
Tacos, man.
Yeah,
thanks for passing on your asymptomatic COVID.
Yeah. Koyo Tacos trash. You guys heard it here first.
Koyo's best, by the way.
Yeah. He loves it. I hate it. I think it's trash. Overrated. Okay. Randy Swag, 499 super sticker. Thank you so much, Randy Swag. We got C. Sujo Noke. You say don't travel to a different country because you should become better, but have any of you actually been to the Philippines, Colombia, etc.? So, okay, man, yeah. I already know where we're going to go here. Okay, let's rewind that back. Like, yo. What we're telling you guys is this. We understand that in other foreign countries, you know, that the women are more feminine, a little bit more. They respect male authority more because they're taught to do that. What we're telling you, though, is that if you don't have game, regardless of where you go, the only thing that's going to happen is that the fangs are going to come and bite you later on versus up front, like here, you know what I'm saying, in the States or westernized countries. Now, with that said, you know, do I knock on guys that go to the Philippines or Colombia or whatever to get women? Nah, I don't. But I'm also going to tell you that, you know, us, we're here in Miami doing this thing. I would say we're like one of the most credible. You know, we do our, you know, two ladies, one table podcast multiple times a week, you know, and at the end of the day, are other dudes doing that, you know what I'm saying, and doing it in Miami? No. But am I going to knock guys that go to these countries? No, because, you know, Colombia has hot chicks. You know, Philippines has hot women. I've heard great things about all these countries. But what we're here to tell you is don't let it be a crux where you're going to run off to a foreign country because, like, oh, I can't get girls here. Screw this. I hate American women. Oh. And then you, like, complain and rant about it, and then you go fly off to these countries like it's going to fix your problem. Yeah. If you don't got game, you're going to lose anyway.
I mean, look, man, I love Colombia, man. I've been there. It's a fun time. I would just say don't make it a thing to go to just to escape America.
Yes.
Because guess what, right? Like Colombia, I'm going to say it's not a wealthy country. So you're getting girls there. Obviously, they see you as a higher value guy off rip because you have money. You're American. But do they really love you? Probably not. I mean, some may. But let's just say like the feminine role is going to play to the masculine role. And if you're not masculine, right, guess what? You're going to be taken advantage of, or even worse, get played to make a move to America, and then she's going to leave you for another guy. So I would just say be careful when you go there. Have fun, but don't rely on Colombia or like Brazil or Philippines as a way to get girls.
Because at the end of the day, guys, remember this.
She belongs to the street.
Unless proven otherwise, no matter where you are. You know what I'm saying?
And the same principle applies in the United States as well. If you're extremely masculine and you're a dominant guy, you're going to bring out the femininity in any woman.
Yes.
So if you're struggling with women being too masculine towards you, not being very feminine, it's because you're not very masculine. Because the most ardent feminist, when she's in the presence of a real masculine man, she'll fucking melt and she will become feminine. You will bring out that femininity in her. That's just the truth. So if you're not seeing it, it's not, I mean, yeah, granted there are cultural differences and, you know, we can complain about those things, but the problem isn't her, it's you.
Yeah.
Facts.
All right.
Trippy Octane.
Okay, Trippy Octane scored a 33 on the Bulldog test. Damn, man. I'll fix it up, guys. Keep up the good work.
Damn, son.
You got that message from John's like, hey, you're a beta male. okay, we got SM Kurt. NSM Kurt. Okay, with the five Canadian. I'm 39, federal government worker in Canada, HR professional. I make 80K and I recently became 100% debt free. I have 10K of savings. Where do I start? John, take it away.
He's
in Canada too, so.
Yeah, yeah. I think you probably need more money to put a down payment on real estate property. But where you start is two things, right? So first of all, get your money up, right? You could probably make more than 80K. Figure out a way to do that, right? I mean, I think that you're not anywhere near the ceiling of what you could be making. And then also start building a side business, right? There's no reason to not have a side business to start doing that. Because realistically, if you really want to get to, you know, get the book if you haven't already, guys, MJ DeMarco's Millionaire Fastlane. Okay.
Yep. And Unscripted is also a phenomenal book.
Yeah.
A bit longer, but yeah.
And what you'll realize, like, if you read that book, is that the only way you're actually going to get to your real financial independence goals is that you're going to need to build a business. You're going to need to be, you're going to need to be making at some point like $300,000-$400,000 a year. So you got to figure out a way that you're going to be able to do that, at least that amount, right? Hopefully even more than that. But you got to figure out a way to do that. So if you can't do that, then yeah, I mean, you can still invest and you can still, but just realize that your retirement timeline is going to be, you know, when you're like 40, 50, 60 years old. If you want to retire in your 30s, you're going to have to be making big money. You're going to be making $400,000 a year. If you can't figure out a way to do that, then, you know, because you got to just do the math. The other thing I'll tell you real quick is your best friend and every one of you guys should be playing with a compound interest calculator. Okay. I want you to just like play with it and play with the variables because there's three variables in the compound interest calculator, right? There's time, there's interest rate, and there's initial capital. Okay. So play with those variables and see what happens. Oh, if I get this kind of return on my money, if I get a 20% return on my money, but I have $100,000, how many years will it take before I have $3 million? Okay. You should be able to figure out that answer. I couldn't and see what you think and see how it is. And then say, well, what if I just get a 5% return, but I start with $1 million or let's say $500,000 and then I give it, you know, 10 years or, you know what I mean? So you can play those variables and you can see this way you actually know what is realistic. Cause most guys are like, oh, well, I just need to do what the financial advisors tell me. And I just need to save my money, put it in 401k and then eventually I'll magic retire. Boom. But you don't actually know the numbers and you haven't actually charted it out. So you don't know like which path you're going on. So play with the variables and see where you got to get to where you want to get. So have your end goal in mind. I want to need to have this net worth so I can have this kind of cash flow. Okay. And then say, okay, well, what variable can figure it? There's multiple ways to get there, right? You can, you know, you can get a very low interest rate and have 100 years to compound it. And you'll make a lot of money, right? There's a lot of ways to get there, but you got to figure out which variables are you going to play with and get to. And then you have to realistically come with a plan that's going to get you there. Otherwise, it's just pipe dreams.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. We got another one here. Desmond Faulkner. Hey, how do you reinvent yourself after you have watched Wasted Time in Life? I'm inspired by you guys, and I want to pick up the pieces. Any advice? Sorry, guys, my glasses. I can't see right now. I'm blind. So I guess he wasted some time, and he wants to reinvent himself. Probably wasted his 20s away partying or doing some dumb stuff. What would you say?
Gosh, I mean, there's a few ways to approach this. I think if you keep on thinking of wasting your life or wasting your time, you're just not going to have the right mindset. You need to think about it in this sense, is that everything happens for a reason in life.
Yep.
In fact, I'm just going to read you something that I wrote on Instagram because I think it's pretty relevant to this, and I don't want to try and paraphrase the same thing here, but I think I just published this yesterday. This is what I said. Yeah. Okay. There's no such thing as a mistake. There's no such thing as failure. There's no need for guilt or shame. Everything that happened in your life had to happen. Every choice you made, you had to make. If you had the knowledge or discipline to make a different choice, you would have, but you didn't, so you didn't. That means that nothing is your fault, not because you're not responsible for your actions, but because there is no fault. There is no blame. Thoughts come into your head uninvited, just as they do to others. We have choices. We make those choices, but we always make those choices based on who we are in that moment. We didn't decide we would be what we would be in any given moment, but we do decide who we will become in the future. Don't focus on the past. Don't focus on mistakes. Don't focus on how many times you fucked up. It was all ordained. None of it could have been any different than it was. Take responsibility for your life, but not blame. Replace regret with action.
Bam.
You are on the exact road you're supposed to be on. See you at the end.
Bam.
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Yeah, I'm not ever going to keep going on that one. That was lit. Okay. Thank you, John. That was great advice. We got Knowledge Seeker with the Canadian 699. Myron and Fresh, how often do you get rejected when you guys go for cold approaches? How often do you guys cold approach? I cold approach all the time, man. I get rejected a lot. Like, I would say... Guys, like, I get rejected. Let's say I cold approach like 10 chicks, I'll probably like maybe get four or five phone numbers and then like maybe one materialized into anything. Yep. Like, guys, cold approaches is a very, when you do the numbers, it's a very difficult way to get women. I'm not going to lie, especially if it's like you're doing night game or day game. It's not easy. And understand that you're going to get rejected way more than when you get accepted. So, you know, like yesterday, I'll give you guys an example. Those two girls that we had here yesterday, we called approached them on the street. You know what I'm saying? So, we ended up getting lucky with that one where they came right back with us. But it doesn't always work out that way. You know, cold approach is a numbers game.
I mean, for me, I don't cold approach that much because, like, I feel like Instagram is better use of my time. But when I do cold approach, I just connect, ask for Instagram. I connect that way. It seems to work very well. So I just use Instagram as like my crutch, so to speak. So I would say it's a pretty good response. Offline and online for me.
One thing I'll say about that I think is important to note is that, like, realistic. I think a lot of guys ask this number because they don't get realistic numbers from guys. Like, And what I'll tell you about this is, like, if you are the Giga Super Chad and you bat at a 10% rate, like mm-hmm. 1 in 10 of a score, let's say,
mm-hmm.
that's
you're
phenomenal.
Great. Yeah.
Okay, so...
World class.
Yeah. So if you're not the Giga Chad, okay,
mm-hmm.
Like, your realistic rate starting out...
Mm-hmm.
might be 1 in 300. Now, when I say this, guys are like, "Oh, that's not worth it." Doesn't?
Yeah.
It's not like you're gonna stay at 1 in 300, mm-hmm. okay? But that might be what it is. And hey, if you're a door-to-door salesman,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you're selling vacuum cleaners,
yep,
and it's like 1 out of 50 people buy a vacuum cleaner, which is probably a realistic number for
yeah.
selling vacuum cleaners door-to-door.
Yep.
If you want to sell 10 vacuum cleaners, you got to knock on 500 doors.
Yep.
That's just how it is. That's
door to door sales,
just
baby.
And yep. if you start your vacuum clean salesman job, whatever it is, and you think, oh well, you know, people should buy my vacuum cleaner, and you go and you knock on 5 doors, and you're like, oh, they all rejected me.
Yep.
This shit doesn't work. I don't see how anyone can sell vacuums.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, do 50. Even if you do 50, it still might not happen, because the law of probability, you know, the odds say that it's not going to be perfectly 1 out of 50.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know. There's a very good chance
averaging.
That it could be 100
yeah.
before you even get one, or 200. That's not without well within the standard deviation
for yeah.
math geeks. Okay, so just have a realistic expectation. Like, if you're not a super good looking guy, then the best you might ever be able to get is with a lot of game is 1 out of 20. Right,
yep.
You might start at like 1 out of 200, right, and then you develop enough game to be able, and that's also just a good definition for game. What is game? What is it to have game, right? Because guys are always like, oh, is it looks, money, status, blah, 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 blah. Game doesn't really exist. But game, just all that game is it's just increasing your odds.
Yeah.
That's all that it's doing. So, mm-hmm. so game is the difference between 1 out of 200 approaches and 1 out of 20.
Yep.
Right. So it's not just a numbers game, it's improving the numbers, and it's improving the quality that you could get with those numbers. And so you just have to have a realistic, because most of the guys that go into this black pill kind of doomer type of mindset, the reason why they do it is because they don't have a realistic expectation. Because everyone's, their perception is, oh, if I was just a Chad, then like every single girl I talk to
yeah, seriously.
would give me her phone number and want to sleep with me. And it's just not true. You know, a girl can think that you're the best looking guy in the whole fucking world, the most gorgeous guys that she's ever seen. And she's out at a bar with her friend because it's her friend's birthday. And it doesn't matter if you have $10,000 in your pocket and you're the Giga Chad of Giga Chads.
Yep.
She's still not going home with you.
Yep. No, so, man, it's true, man. And like, yep. guys, just because you're a Chad doesn't mean you're going to get the girls. You know what I'm saying? So, all right. What else do we got here?
All right. So we have a sticker from King Chris.
Oh, $10 King Chris.
Dr. Marco, but
thank you.
There's a question in the chat, though, for him.
Okay, for...
Yeah, because he couldn't chat.
Chat? Okay, what's the question?
So, thanks for setting up this podcast with the boss, Bulldog John Somes. Tons of gems being dropped. Notes are being taken. Hashtag Fresh Fit Fam.
Hey, man. Thank you, bro. Appreciate
thanks, bro.
You get a Don DeMarco.
Don DeMarco.
All right,
DeMarco.
So we'll hit the phone lines. Who do you want to hit first, Chris? 818?
Yep. 818.
Okay, 818. We'll get him on the line. Yeah, he's been waiting for a bit. Thank you for holding. 818, you're on the live on the show, man. What's up? 818 going
Yo,
once.
What's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Yo, what up, man?
What's up, bro?
Is this Cam?
Hey, it's Cam from LA. How are you guys?
What's up, Cam?
Hey, John. Good to hear from you too, man. And thanks for coming on the show with Fresh Prince and Myron.
Yeah. Yeah, good to hear from you.
So, good to hear from you guys. So I wanted to ask John a question about investing in real estate out of state. So as you know, John, I also live in California, and I want to know, you have properties, I believe, that are out of state. How did you overcome the hurdle of – because I have a few properties as well, but I'm kind of concerned about going out of state because I'm not able to visit the property. And just having it near me within my vicinity, I feel more comfortable about it. But what did you do to kind of – overcome that obstacle of investing out of state? Because I know there's property value out in, let's say, the state of Indiana that's much more cheap, it's affordable, and you can get a good rate of return on it.
So, well, let me ask you this question. So if you were going to buy a stock, let's say an Apple stock, would you need to go and tour the Apple facilities and and check them out. You know, check out, see how are you guys making those iPhones? Like, let me look over your shoulder. I don't know. I'm not sure about this. You see what I'm saying? Like, so
correct.
I bought a lot of my properties sight unseen because it doesn't matter. Because the numbers are what matter, right?
Yep.
And so now I did my due diligence, right? So I hired a home inspector to go and take pictures. I had my real estate agent on the ground taking video and looking at the property, right? I double-checked the numbers. I had the property management company check it out. I had a friend of mine, if there was in the area, hey, go just drive by that property. Make sure that it's not like, you know, in the ghetto or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, but you can do all that research. So, and then, you know, and I decided that I wanted to buy the property sight unseen because I wanted to not create a dependence on me going to have to see it. Because what am I going to do? I walk around the property and I'm like, this looks good. As if I know what the fuck I'm talking about when I'm looking at, you know what I mean? Like a home inspector note, you know what I mean? Like kick the foundation. Yeah. That seems like a solid foundation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why do I need to see it? I don't need to see it.
Got it. And when you're looking into outdoor, like the last question would be, when you're looking at properties out of state, are you looking at the appreciation rate of the state of that you're investing in, but also at the same time, you're looking at the cash flow of what it can offer you, right?
I'm really only looking at the cash flow of what it can offer me. Basically, in cash flow is the wrong word, right? It's really a capitalization rate is what I'm looking at, right? So that's the thing that I'm looking at. You basically have three metrics in real estate: is the capitalization rate, you have the cash on cash return, and you have the IRR or irrespective rate of return. And so the capitalization rate is the best metric for the characteristic, the investment quality of the property, because that is essentially what you would get if you bought the property cash, and then after all expenses, what would be left over. That's your return on your investment. Okay, so that's kind of the best way to compare things. Now, when you look at things like cash and cash return, that takes more into account, like if you've got a mortgage on the property, and then like based on how much cash you invested, what is your return? And then your irrespective rate of return looks at overall, like over a 5-year period, you enter the property with this much money, you exit with this much, what's your effective rate of return per year if it were compounded over that 5-year period. And so, so the reason why I'm saying all that is just to say that the appreciation shouldn't, I don't take into account, because that doesn't indicate whether it's a good investment or not. That makes it more speculation, right? So I just want to look at, does it have a good capitalization rate? And here's the kind of the secret and the key to things is that you always buy properties at market value. What I mean by that is whatever the capitalization rate is in a particular geographic area, that's what you buy the property at. Even if you get a discount on it, you essentially have foregone your ability to flip that contract and earn money on that in order to buy it you at the capitalization rate that is going. So really what you need to look at is, in a geographic area, what is the average capitalization rate? Because that determines both what you're going to buy the property at and what you can sell it at, you know, even after it appreciates as well. So really just look at that is my opinion on it. But
Cam, you got to get off the air, bro. You're getting too much free value right now. That's a wrap, man. Thank you. Thank you, John, for all that knowledge. Cam,
yeah, we'll appreciate it, guys.
No, anytime, man. Guys, we're going to have a Zoom call right after this. So it's going to be a little bit shorter.
Yeah, short.
But we'll answer a few more super chats, and then we'll close Candace thing here in a second. All right, let's go on to the next super chatter, Chris. We got Empire of Real Estate. He goes, follow up on social circles. Have you found exotic car ownership has gotten you into Ben friend groups. I think he means beneficial friend groups via car meets. Oh, this is a good question for Fresh. Go ahead. Talk about this.
Yeah, man. So a lot of guys don't know this, right? But one of the best ways to be millionaires, people with influence, people with money, is car shows. Because guess what? A lot of these rich people, what do they invest in? Cars and real estate. But for the most part, on weekends, they take their cars out, they go to car shows, and you know what? They're more open to hear, maybe you talk about your business, what do you do? And it's a good networking tool. So I recommend everybody, if you can, at some point in life, get an exotic car. Even if you have to like rent one, get it for that day, go to the car show, and network. And guess what? My mentor, he does exotic car hacks. He teaches guys how to get cars for a lower price. I met him at a car show. It's like, guys, get this, right? You start off
life at one point, right? You only know your immediate circle. To get outside of the circle, you have to do things that you wouldn't normally do. But some of these people that you want to meet, they're not where you normally hang out. Where are they going to be at? And one of them is car shows. So I recommend, if you can, get an exotic car, go to the car show, see it for yourself, and then go to those car shows and meet people. Hey, man, I love your car, bro. This is a McLaren. This is a Lamborghini. Tell me a little bit about it. And you'd be surprised how much saying they love the cars. They talk to you. So, yeah, man, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a pilot. Oh, I'm an investor. Oh, I do stocks. Oh, I'm hiring for this business. Do you know anyone that wants a job? Boom. I have a friend, right? He does IT security, and he does like cameras, setups, and networking setups. All of his clients came from car meets, and they're all wealthy as hell. And now he's a multimillionaire, and he was broke when he went to car show. So I'm just saying, like, you can meet people there that you wouldn't normally meet just by having an exotic car. And guess what? When you have your own, it's like a respect level that you wouldn't normally have if you didn't have one. So it's very important.
All right.
Perfect.
Okay, so we're going to go back to the phone lines and transition back to – any more Super Chats, Chris?
No, we're good.
All right, back to the phone line. All right, 501.
Hey there, this is Ryan from Denver. I had a real quick question regarding like logistics. One of the things that I started noticing is I live in like a small town, not really a small town, but like a city outside of Denver. And I noticed I was paying a lot of money on like hotels and stuff like that. Would it be a better option just to move to like a bigger city and live there?
Yeah. So yeah, Ryan, in your situation, yeah, dude, you gotta, and we'll talk about this more on the Zoom call. I'm going to give you a little bit more detail because we got to get off the air here, but yes.
Yeah, I can get more detail there.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got to get the fuck out of where you're at, bro.
Yeah, move, bro.
If I'm going to keep it honest with you, no cap, like, you got to get the hell out of where you're at.
Ryan, those girls that are flying in to see you, it'd be way better if you were in the city.
Facts.
Just keeping it 100.
And we'll talk about that in a behind the scenes. Which, guys, if you want to get the exclusive stuff that we can't talk about on YouTube and the real game, all the other stuff, get on our Patreon, patreon.com/freshfit. If you join right now, we're going to run a Zoom call right now. You guys can come in. Get to ask John for Bulldog Mindset questions. Us, we'll probably run for about 30 to 40 minutes. Yep. You're going to get a value-loaded Zoom call. We do these things once a week on Mondays at the 97 tier and up. We have to increase the tiers, guys, because these feminists are trying to invade our Patreon.
Back.
So we got another super chat here.
Philion.
By Kevin Murphy. Yeah, Philion. Murphy's Law. What can go wrong on a date with a beta male will go wrong.
Well
facts.
Said.
1,000% facts. okay. Any other super chats, Chris?
No, we're good.
All right. We'll do one more call. Who's been waiting longer? 224 has been waiting longer. So 224, we'll get you on. 224.
Hey, how's it going, y'all? This is Jay from Chicago calling back.
Hey, what's up, man?
Jay?
Do a quick question, bro. Hey. What's up?
Hey. Real quick. So I saw those girls you guys had on the podcast the other night. One of the things I was thinking about is how it's really interesting how when you ask younger women, right, their opinions on guys with a lot of money, they kind of tend to shrug that off, and they're like, hey, I'm going to make my own money. I'm not worried about it. Yeah. But you notice that tends to really change as you get up into, like, 30s and 40s and stuff like that. So just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts are on that, and if that's, like, actually something legitimate that you see where it's, like, guys going in and trying to talk to girls in their 20s about their money always get turned down, but that tends to hit a lot harder in the 30s and 40s and tends to get you a lot more action.
Bro, you got to understand that women are 1,000% capping 99% of the times when you ask them anything
exactly.
When it comes to, you know, how their partner account and or like what's your – like how much do you care about money? They're always going to say, oh, I don't care about money, but it's – no, they do. The thing is that they don't overtly care about money. I'll give you an example. Girls don't necessarily care that you made $10,000, today on the stock market from trading stocks. What they do care is that you can come into the house and tell her, hey, pack your bags. We're going to Tulum tomorrow. That's what they like. They like the freedom that money provides. That's why, like – if you look at like consumerism and debt, like women hold three quarters of the debt. And the reason why is because they spend money first and ask questions later. And they don't really care about making money. They care about the freedom that money provides and the lifestyle that it allows them to provide. And they understand that it's a necessary evil to get what they want. You know what I'm saying? So women don't look at money the same way we do. We look at it like, oh, I made $10,000 the other day. Oh, cool. How'd you make that money? Whatever. A girl's like, oh, I made $1,000 today. Cool. I got my rent covered. I'm chilling now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not built for success like we are. There's no burner performance on them to make a lot of money. Some women obviously have that, where they're going to school and they want to become doctors, whatever. But women don't have the same intrinsic need to make money like men do. We understand from the day we're born that what you provide to the world is where your value stems. Women, like, they kind of have to, like, learn that burden of performance, whereas like men just naturally have it.
Yeah, it's funny because John called her out on the show. He was like, yo, you're saying that now. When you get 30, that's going to change. Yeah.
Facts.
That's funny.
Yeah. Facts. But all right, we're going to move on to the next guy, caller, but that was an excellent question.
King Chris online right now.
Oh, let's
appreciate
get King
y'all.
Chris.
Thank you.
Peace, man. King Chris, and then we'll can this thing.
What's
go ahead,
up, Chris.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yo, can you guys hear me? Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah,
bro. What's up, man?
Yeah. What's going on, fellas? You know, I just wanted to call in real quick and do a quick testimonial and get one quick question.
Sure.
So for anyone that's on the fence as far as, like, joining the Patreon, I highly recommend it. There's tons of valuable information in there. Fresh and Myron, they go above and beyond, you know, to provide lots of information for guys that, you know, trying to be successful, you know, on your on your purpose, you know what I'm saying? So you guys should definitely the best thing you can do is invest in yourself. And shout out to John also.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. You guys, we definitely paid him $1,000 to call in and give that testimonial.
Yeah, we did.
So I hope you guys definitely sign up to the Patreon because we're scamming out here. But go ahead, Chris. Ask your question, bro, real quick, and then so we can send out the Zoom link. Go ahead.
Yeah, for sure. My question, is, and it's for all three of you, but
I want to
invest. Oh yeah, on the Zoom call, right? Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead. No. But ask your question. I will answer it.
It's about investing in real estate, like abroad, like back home, because both of my parents are immigrants as well, from Kenya and from Laos, and so I always thought about doing that as well. And John, have you done that or considered that? And like, what steps did you take? If you can give some quick points about that.
Yeah, so I haven't done it myself, but I will tell you, you know, that I have considered it. And the biggest consideration that I found with foreign investments is securing a loan, right? Because that's you know, a lot of places it's not quite as favorable, right? We can get loans for where you put 20% down in the United States, and it's a fairly standard process of conventional loans of, you know, underwriting and whatnot. Whereas actually, so the person you want to talk to, if you really want to do foreign real estate investment or look into this, is Andrew from Nomad Capitalist, right? That guy, he knows everything about living abroad and investing abroad. So, you know, Nomad Capitalist, Andrew, Henderson, I believe. I'm spacing his last name. I think that's right. But
damn, John, you look great on camera, by the way. I just had to say that, man. Wonder, yeah, who set up that lighting in that camera? I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Hey, bro, I want to say one quick thing. Shout out to C. Pogson in the background and Todd also, because they're holding it down too, making the podcast work and everything. You know what I'm saying? But that's all I'm going to say. Thank you guys very much. Have a good night.
Chris gave you guys a shout out. Yeah, man. Thank you, Chris. All right, guys.
All right.
So we're going to end the show there, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Get on the Patreon, patreon.com/freshfoot. We're going to run a Zoom call right now where you guys will be able to ask us questions along with John. It's going to be quick, though, because we got to go to Moxie's and womanize on the waitresses there. So we will catch you guys. We're going to catch you guys on the next one. Tune in on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
You know what? We'll probably make a response to, like, these people coming at us.
Curtis and Philly.
Curtis.
The real. The real talk.
We're going to cook
the real show,
those old broads that made jokes on us, okay? So tune in on Wednesday, 6 p.m. right here. Same bat time, same bat place. Tom is shaking his head, and so is Andrew, because they're scared of us getting demonetized.
Yep.
But we don't give a fuck. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace.
Peace.
Podcast at 10. Well, John, if you don't want to, you know, we normally do that one at 10. You're welcome to join if you want, but, like, you know, if you got plans with a chick or whatever, like, you know, no worries.
All these girls are inviting me over to their houses, so don't have to think like
a thing. Oh, nice.
Do it, bro.
Yeah, man, do it, bro.
Right, go post and it comes to the
Do it.
Express.
Do it, man.
This one's not. This is like, I was pretty much in my house all by myself.
Oh, close Blog Talk, dude. Make sure to close it. Just, and yeah, always hit end because they can hear the show still because the mics are hot. Just hit end episode at the top right. There you go. Bam. Cool.